This is episode 391 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumble Think, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. Our guest on today's episode is Emily Darchak. More about Emily in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed to JumbleThink, now's the time to do it. Head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts and click that subscribe button. To make it even easier, if you head on over to JumbleThink.com, you'll find links to places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So head on over, subscribe to the show, and never miss another amazing conversation. Now let's join today's conversation with our guest, Emily Darchak. Hey there, friends. Welcome to Jumble Think. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host. We have an incredible episode for you today. It is episode 391, which means we are getting close to that magical episode 400. Our guest today is Emily Darchak. She is the CEO and founder of a really cool company called Wayward Spirit. You're going to be learning more about them. Their company is in partnership with Ben & Jerry's, doing some cool things. They were a food finalist in the Fast Company's World Changing Ideas Awards in 2021, and they were awarded 2021 Good Food Awards. There's a lot more to their story. We're going to dive into that. So let's go ahead and join the conversation with today's guest, Emily Darchak. Emily, welcome to Jumble Think.
Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone. Great to be here today.
I mentioned that you're from Wayward Spirits. We're going to talk about that story, but you and what you're doing, it's super cool. But you are it seems like kind of an accidental entrepreneur. Like, you were in food science and you were helping clients and you're doing all of that, but the entrepreneurial journey for you seems to kind of have happened by seeing a need, seeing a broken system and figuring out a better way. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. naturally curious problem solver who wants to make a difference and kind of fell into entrepreneurship that way. But my background and education's is in food science, and I worked kind of for food and beverage companies, commercializing, ideation, launching products. So kind of as a product developer, I like to kind of describe it to people as, you know, translating tangible consumer needs into products through science. So that's everything through coming up the need, spotting the problem, and figuring out how to develop it, commercialize it, scale it, and do all of that, for me at least, personally, as responsibly and sustainably as possible. So worked a lot in dairy. I really like it because there's a short supply chain and you really know your makers and where your food comes from. And also many, many years in the natural food and beverage industry, and worked there and worked for large companies and got to do really creative platforms and lots of innovations and cool things. And I started to see a lot of the really groundbreaking innovations, the new platforms, a lot of that creative risk-taking slip away from the big companies. Wow. Who were more risk avoidant and more cost focused, and a lot of that going into entrepreneurs' hands and startups doing the interesting things of problem solving, you know, that creative take on responsible food production. So that kind of opened my eyes. And as I would go to things like Expo West or see other entrepreneurs, I really saw that creative energy I was starting to miss at big companies, and ended up kind of taking the leap myself, seeing a huge gap in the food system with whey waste, and also seeing a huge gap in consumer needs and values propositions and alcohol, and kind of being that natural bridge between the two and using my background and my skill set, you know, that's kind of was my pathway forward in entrepreneurship.
Now, you mentioned the word whey there, and you are creating a whey-based spirit, which is vastly different than whiskey is made, or gin, or vodka, or rum, or really, I can't think of any hard liquor, not, well, spirit that is being manufactured in such a way as what you're doing. Before we dive into Wayward Spirits and what makes it unique, all I can think of when I hear the word whey is the Little Miss Muffet thing. So what in the world is whey?
I love the Little Miss Muffet reference because I think it's a perfect start because you have your curds and you have your whey. So for every 10 pounds of milk, you can make 1 pound of cheese, which are those curds essentially pressed together. And all that remaining liquid is that whey. So it's chock full of nutrients and vitamins, a little bit of protein. Everyone thinks it's a ton of protein, but also those naturally occurring sugars with it. So it's just a byproduct of the dairy industry. Super nutritious, super soft, mild, and you know, something that comes naturally. There's over 106 billion pounds of it produced annually, and only about half of it's fully utilized. So it's definitely underutilized, highly nutritious, you know, opportunity to feed people. And for me, make a double, triple, now quadruple award-winning specialty spirit with it to prevent waste.
Now, it sounds like there really wasn't anything that whey was used for the most part. Is that right? It was just completely considered waste?
That's a great question, Michael. So about half of that 106 billion pounds produced annually goes to other products. So you can concentrate it. It's less than 1% protein in that whey. You can concentrate and extract that, but you're still left with a lot of food and minerals and nutrition left over. You can try to dry it. And a lot of it goes to animal feed as well. So, you know, there's some uses other than going down the drain, but it's definitely not going to its highest and best use. And it's definitely not being, you know, fully tapped into with a lot of producers across the country.
How did you figure out whey could be used to make a spirit? Because that seems like it wouldn't be common knowledge, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, I think for me, my background in kind of in product development and innovation is, you know, creatively looking at all different types of ingredients to, you know, make something different. And, you know, I've gotten to work on a lot of different fermentations in my career and looking at things differently and how to optimize it and create those flavors naturally through, you know, processes like fermentation. So had a really strong background as a food scientist with it. You know, people have been using whey or looking at it, you know, for bioethanols, other alcohols, things like that, but nobody's really taken a holistic approach to think how to, you know, make a great tasting spirit with it and take something really highly perishable and create something with, you know, infinite shelf life and things that can be, you know, fully utilized and that. So kind of a great way to think about it is we're a specialty spirit, not just because of the whey, but also how we approach our fermentation and distillation. So instead of using a traditional grain, grape, agave, we use that excess whey. Every bottle prevents gallons of food waste from occurring, has an amazing sustainable and carbon footprint because of it. But the real reason why we're a specialty spirit versus a vodka or anything else is our approach to fermentation and distillation. We're approaching it probably more akin to how a high-end Blanco tequila would be made. So we're really focused on that fermentation, creating amazing flavors from that whey in our yeast. And then we're taking that into distillation, not to strip out all the flavor to be pure alcohol, but to make our cuts strategically during that process to really kind of get this right amazing complexity and character and sipability that allows a ton of versatility and really kind of gives something that was going to waste a really highest and best use and connecting people to where their food comes from and how their food is made, I think, in a really interesting way.
Now, when I think of a dairy product, it has a very distinct flavor and taste. And we know from the world of whiskeys is a great example. Anything from water to what kind of grain or anything can be like really change the taste. So what is the taste of a whey-based spirit like? What would it be similar to or is it even similar to anything?
Yeah. So Wayward Spirit is truly unique. It has a signature flavor of its own, and it's because of our fermentation and distillation process. So the Wayward experience, that Wayward kind of sip is really something unique to its own and that. But the notes we're getting through our process are really lovely, delicate hints of oaky vanilla cream, a little bit of warm spice, and a very clean finish. Also on the nose, you're not getting that hit of alcohol like you typically would in a clear spirit. It's soft, it's delicate, it's smooth, a little bit of champagne note to it. So we find aged spirit drinkers really like to enjoy it because it has that complexity, but a lightness and a lot more versatility, you know, if you're going to have something in the day or more than one drink. And then obviously, if you're a vodka, gin, rum drinker, you can use it in place in a lot of those cocktails and really kind of have a unique elevated experience because those flavor notes blend together with everything else in your cocktail. You know, I've heard it described as a really high-end Blanco, having a baby with a vodka. It's that nice, delicate complexity, just a little bit softer. And it's also been described a little bit like maybe like a sake having a baby. So those soft, delicate notes, just a little bit more mild and a lot more flexibility in what you do with it.
That's super cool. Now, one of the things you're really proud about is the farm to flask kind of mentality. You mentioned those oak tastes a few minutes ago, or the cleanness of or softness of the taste. Walk us through the process. Are you barrel aging this? What's the entire process like from the moment that you get the whey? Like, what do you go through?
Yeah. No, it's great. So we work directly with sustainable dairies currently in the state of California. So we, you know, work with them to schedule. We arrange a milk tanker. We go and pick up their whey. It's specially captured for us. It's high quality. It's really fresh off the line. A lot of communication and partnership there. And they've been great partners for us. So we then tanker that to our distillery. And kind of, as I mentioned a little bit before, we pretty much use that whey and we use yeast for good. So that yeast really, you know, in our fermentation process is what's giving us all of our flavor. And we did years and years of development to kind of capture that and to be able to create the perfect process with it. So we ferment it and then we then distill it. And then we bottle proof it to 80 proof, so okay. 40% alcohol. So you can use it. It's the same amount of ending alcohol as, you know, a whiskey, a gin, any other kind of base spirit. With that, we're our first product that's been to market is a kind of clear specialty spirit. So we can kind of go from farm to flask in a couple weeks.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting. And instead of having to kind of put it in a barrel to create a lot of those flavors, we're just doing that in fermentation and maintaining that in our cuts and distillation. But we'll be excited to kind of release some additional products in the upcoming years, but really kind of maintaining that really purist approach, handcrafted, that holistic view on how to make a great tasting spirit, you know, from the raw materials all the way down. So we're never going to kind of do that flavored, you know, your birthday cake this or your whipped cream flavor that. Everything's going to be like that handcrafted kind of purist approach to spirits. So you can really kind of taste where your product comes from and that journey that comes from it and, you know, has that signature flavor that's really kind of it's something you can appreciate because it's so different.
Now you mentioned like you can taste where it came from. Does that mean like you could literally get different flavor notes or profiles based on where the cows are from or what they're eating or anything like that? Is that an impact to your taste?
We've worked really hard to kind of figure out, you know, almost our kind of sourcing spec on the right type of whey and how to do that. So we've actually been able to get a lot of product consistency while still working with a variety of different farms. Because our whole approach is every bottle we make helps solve a problem. So we're really committed to being able to grow and reach more people with both our message and also, you know, be able to help more kind of agricultural communities through this sourcing as well. So it's not as nuanced as that, but I can guarantee, you know, there's a big difference in picking up a bottle of our spirit and the complexity it is versus, you know, a standard vodka or different type of spirit off the shelf. Like there's that kind of level of it, but we've worked really hard to figure out how to maintain that signature profile, even with working with different kind of farms and producers as we grow.
We're going to take a break right here, and in a moment, we'll return to our conversation with Emily Darchak from Wayward Spirit. If you're listening to the show, you probably have big ideas and dreams. That's what we're all about. I want to help you create those dreams and turn them into reality. How can we do that? Well, sometimes an idea and dream can seem very big and overwhelming. Where do you start? What do you do? How do you make it easy? That's why we created the Dreamer's Guide to Micro Experiments. This is a free guide that you can get by simply going to jumblethink.com and signing up for our newsletter. It is a simple process, kind of like the scientific method, to use experiments and fun activities to turn those dreams and ideas into reality. It's not about perfection. It's about finding the right path on the journey of creating that dream or idea. So head on over to jumblethink.com. You'll be able to find that. It will be a little pop-up. Sign up for that and get that free guide. Head on over to jumblethink.com and get the free Dreamer's Guide to Micro Experiments. Now let's return to our conversation with today's guest, Emily Darchak.
Now, in the world of wine, there are specific regulations in some cases, but there's also standards for like how a bottle is labeled and what constitutes a blend versus a single variety. And then you get into the world of spirits and there are a lot of rules around what constitutes a whiskey or how a rum should be approached. Now that you're creating this space that really is its unique space. So like the legal process of setting this up, compliance running through, getting this approved for becoming a consumer beverage, what was that like?
Yeah. That's such a great question. And that's part of the reason we're really, you know, clear and passionate about, you know, explaining that we're a specialty spirit. So, you know, what is a whiskey? What is a rye? What is a vodka? What is a tequila? All of that are really narrow kind of definitions that fall into the CFR and, you know, managed by the TTB. And, you know, we could be a vodka even made from whey if we chose to take and distill it up to a certain proof to be essentially a neutral spirit. But to me, in my eyes, it's like, why take something, you know, with a really unique journey that can make a beautiful tasting based spirit to neutral to taste like everything else in the market? And that's kind of where, you know, we went wayward, and it kind of is a piece of that wayward mentality to do things differently for the right reasons. So the catch-all section for anyone who wants to innovate, who doesn't fit those narrow categories, is actually a specialty spirit. And we're unique in that category because we're not adding flavors. We're not doing anything. So, you know, my hope is we create our own category one day. It becomes its own definition. But for us, it's like, instead of fitting an arbitrary name, let's focus on making the best tasting product, and one where you can really taste a difference and make a difference, you know, that you can use in place of everything else, versus just trying to fit, you know, someone else's definition of what an alcohol looks like.
And it really does, live up to that entrepreneurial mindset of the blue ocean versus the bloody ocean, where it's like you are creating your own space versus trying to compete in a space that might already be saturated. You're innovating a completely new space. For you, though, does that mean that there are other people that are seeing what you're doing and saying, hey, we can copy that too? Are you finding that people are having problems accepting the beverage because of like just not knowing what it is? Like, how do you stand out in that space when the spirit space is big, but your space is very small? So there's that gap between knowledge and also like just trial and error, like people trying it and saying, not error, but trial, and just enjoying and saying, oh, this is something I like.
Yeah. Well, I think for us, it's like our differentiation, our values, our why, you know, we're a way spirit. We do things differently. We are a wayward spirit. Like all of that is built in from the ground up. And that's not, you know, that's, no one will have our signature flavor. Nobody is going to do it as we did, because we are fundamentally different and we take that approach. And we are uniquely wayward in that approach versus trying to kind of go into a crowded area where it is easy to have another Me Too. We just focused on that uniqueness and trying to connect to other creative spirits to help them tell their stories, you know, both to their friends over a good drink and through amazing kind of cocktail recipes behind the bar. So that's kind of our avenue. And, you know, we're unapologetic for that. I think, you know, with COVID, we ended up, you know, I think serendipitously being able to pivot into kind of a more, you know, online model. And we focused on telling our story, and consumers have really resonated with it. They've connected with it. They love it. They love the product, all of that. The biggest hump for us is breaking into, you know, I think the system, you know, that, you know, is ripe for that disruption, which was part of the reason I came in. So, you know, having those conversations with the distributors, having those conversations with those retailers, breaking down those barriers and being able to show them, hey, like, consumers love this. Here's how you can translate that, versus just kind of getting that same pipeline of the Me Too kind of pushed down the way. Because when we do tastings or connect with people in any different way, they're hungry for the story. They're hungry to learn where their food comes from. They're hungry to have that connection and have that experience with it. And they kind of help us be ambassadors and spread the way word in their own take on it. And whether you love it because it's female owned or it's sustainable, or we're really, you know, strong supporters of ag, or, you know, you're just into great tasting spirits, it doesn't matter why you love it. Like, if you have that connection, you pass it on. We're happy to have you as part of our herd, and we appreciate it.
One of the things I love about your story is the spirit world has just been exploding lately. Whiskey's like selling all-time best selling years, year over year. And you're hearing about vodka's just exploding, and rum, and celebrities are getting involved and everything. But there is a time to market on a lot of those that is much longer. And the fact that, one, this is sustainable. Two, it's renewing waste for a tasty beverage. But beyond that, it also is quick to market when it comes to producing. It seems like this is a product that is a big win on so many levels. Are people understanding that, or are they just saying this is a cool drink?
I think things are evolving. I mean, think how much things have changed even over the past year or two. And the category that's really exploding right now is, you know, agaves, you know, and that's a slow growing, you know, fairly, you know, tight resourced kind of base spirit. But people love it because it has character and it has nuance, and it's an agricultural based spirit with a story and an origin and a history with it. And I feel like we're offering that same value proposition to consumers, just in a more sustainable, more renewable, domestic approach to, you know, a spirit that, you know, still delivers character and has nuance with it too. So I think that's kind of been a great anchor and where consumers are going with it. And I, you know, starting on this journey even a couple of years ago, remotely talking about food waste or remotely talking about, you know, a spirit with nuance or anything like that, people would look at you were like crazy. And just where we've even come in the conversation on upcycling and resource dependency and supply chains and all of these things, you know, it's going to continue to become more and more important. And the principles of why we started it and why we're making the spirit how we are, I think, are going to become even more important. And foremost is, like, we're not doing something different and weird. We're doing something really smart. And, you know, things like this should be supported.
Yeah, I love that. Double gold medal at the 2021 New York World Wine and Spirits Competition. You won awards in the 2022 New York World Wine and Spirit Competition, also in the 2022 San Francisco World Wine and Spirit Competition. This is something that's getting notoriety. It must be really rewarding to see these type of competitions, these type of events, saying, hey, this is something that we put our stamp of approval on. It is legit. It is good. It is something worth checking out.
Yeah. Oh, my, our first award, I was giddy, because especially as a product developer, in past life, I've launched products and I, you know, it's, you only want to put something out there good, you know, and yeah. I know it's good and other people's feedback is good, but external validation, because all of these awards are kind of the top ones internationally. They have thousands of entries and, you know, our spirit's going in there blind. So there's yeah. nothing else they're relying on other than the quality and the nuance and our approach to production. So really proud not only to get those kind of top honors, but to be repeat winners for it. Also won sustainability awards and a lot of other kind of innovation awards too, which, you know, we try to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk on being that spirit where you can taste a difference and make a difference. And we're really committed to, you know, continuous, you know, improvement and being top in class in both of those categories. But yeah, very proud of those medals. And I think, you know, it's a great validator for us, you know, especially as kind of coming into new markets to be like, hey, you know, it's good stuff. You can trust it and you'll like it.
That's super cool. There's an amazing partnership. I think it is for many food brands or celebrities for that matter. I think of Colbert. I think of Dave Matthews, or not Dave Matthews, Fish. I think of some of these other organizations, and that's a partnership with Ben and Jerry's. You are bringing a cool product to market with them. Tell us about that and how that whole thing came together to make that happen.
Yeah, another amazing thing and another really kind of delightfully entrepreneurial company, even though they're so big.
Yeah,
they really have such a unique vision, is such a unique voice, and so anchored to their mission and values that they get to do cool things, and we're honored to be part of it. So very early in our story and launching, kind of we got on their radar and talked with them, and, you know, we're really values aligned, both being female founded, which is very rare in alcohol, especially spirits category. Our sustainable impact, our approach to responsible food production and our food waste, along with other things that really they liked it, and trying to figure out creative ways to work together. Kind of they went back to you know, their ideation team, and, you know, it came back that the most requested flavor in their flavor graveyard was actually the Dublin Mudslide. It had been retired from 15 years ago, and like all of their customers were just really wanting it to come back. And here was that opportunity to bring back that most requested flavor from their graveyard with a new, more sustainable spirit through the inclusion and the partnership with Wayward Spirit. So we worked with them directly all through the process, and they're just an incredible team, incredible products, really kind of creative entrepreneurial spirits themselves. And, you know, there's a story about our spirit on the back of pack, and one kind of fact, because I'm a big nerd and we love our cow on pack, is it's the first time they ever let a second cow on their package. And it's our kind of Highland mascot, Magnificent, and we're holding tails in partnership on pack. And that ice cream's available nationwide and even internationally now. And that's something that happened this year. So it's been kind of, you know, an interesting journey through entrepreneurship, but it's never a dull day. And that's an incredible partnership we're really proud of and proud to be continuing with.
Now, you mentioned mascot, and is it Highland Coo?
Yes, yes.
Tell us about that shaggy little, well, not probably little, probably very large cow, has the crazy haircut and all. Tell us about your mascot.
Yeah, we love Highland cows, coos up in Scotland, but just fell in love with her. She's actually a real cow on bottle. Her name's Magnificent. And she just has that cattitude. She has that wayward mentality about her, that long hair, don't care, wind blown look. If you're going to get drinking with a cow, it would be someone like her, you know, and she just kind of embodies that be bold spirit. I think the other little element of it I like is people think it's a bull or this or that, but it's actually a female cow on pack in that. So there's like a lot of elements of branding and our personal journey within it. But I found her and fell in love with her, and she had to be the face of our brand, and she's awesome.
Okay, so we jumped into this conversation. When did you guys start, though?
It took a couple years to get to market, but we launched Spirit, our first bottles, to market September 2020.
So 2020, right at the heat, the apex of COVID, of course. You've done a lot. We talked about awards. We talked about partnerships. We talked about what you're creating. You're a very young company. What is the future dream? Where do you want to take this company, Wayward Spirits? What do you want to do for the future? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we're excited. We really want to kind of be that mainstream brand. We want to bring that kind of ethos and that kind of principle of production mainstream. We want to be in bars and restaurants across the country. We want to be in your grocery stores, especially those kind of grocery stores that have those products that connect you where your food comes from. And we're excited and looking to work with, you know, more and more partners to be able to, you know, get our bottles out there. Because as I mentioned, every bottle we sell helps solve a problem, has like amazing environmental footprint story, and just the principle of production, I think, is really important. So we're excited to grow, but grow in the right ways, both in the products we launch, but also in the partners we have. But, you know, every kind of glass of Wayward, you know, it's a good thing kind of moving forward. So we really want to be able to expand and, you know, grow our customer base even from where we're at today.
Yeah, really cool. I'm excited about what you've created, but I'm even more excited about the future, because a company like yours doing so many things vastly different and yet creating a space that it is about craft. It is about artisan work. Even at the big level, these big brands creating whiskeys and stuff like that, there is a lot of beloved nature behind these brands. And I'm excited to see a fan base continue to grow, excited to see you guys just explode at the level of your dreams.
Yeah, we're really excited too. You know, it's been growing a lot, and, you know, we've been able to be very entrepreneurial and fast moving, and you really connect with our customers and learn what they like, and, you know, use their ideas for cocktails and collaborate and grow. But even beyond connecting with more kind of customers and growing that present, we're excited for more partnerships and opportunities, you know, to work with the existing food system to help improve it for good and use more whey, and really kind of collaborate and have a joint approach to, you know, help spread the whey word. And I think evolve the alcohol and the dairy industry for the better. And it's really exciting time to be a part of it, and, you know, appreciate everyone from early on to, you know, the next couple of years that are going to be a part of our journey, because it's going to be important.
Now, this is an important question. We haven't covered this yet, and I think it's what some people might be wondering, and that's simply, can I buy this at my favorite wine and beer shop or liquor shop? Can I get this sent to me? How can I get it? Where can I find you?
Yeah. So that was the other benefit of COVID. We have a pretty extensive DTC. So if you go to waywardspirit.com, you can just ship it to your home or ship it to your friends and family across the country. I think right now we're shipping to about 40 states across the country through our kind of licensed retail partners, but really simple avenue to get it and share it, and get one to savor and one to share too with that. And we're just expanding into more stores. It's going to go kind of state by state. We're already kind of have some footprints in the West and starting to work with distributors. So the other thing you can definitely do is ask for it locally, but more importantly, join our herd. It's our newsletter. Shoot us a message. Let us know where you'd like in your local store. You know, when you order a bottle online, and we can definitely let you know as we expand. But excited to work with more partners, especially, you know, with bars and restaurants finally reopening after COVID back half of this year until next year.
Super cool. And we'll put the link in the episode notes, so you don't even have to look for it. Just click the link. It will take you right there. Check out their products. Cool packaging, great innovative product, doing some really cool stuff. So if you're listening right now, make sure to check it out and put your eyes on their site and hear more of their story, see more of it's actually a really pretty website too. So check it out. It's really cool. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, it is rapid fire questions. We'll be right back with Emily.
We have some wonderful conversations lined up for you in the weeks to come here at JumbleThink. I wanted to give you a little taste of what you have to look forward to. Next week on the show, our guest is Mark Henteman. He's an executive producer, a former showrunner, and a writer for the hit show Family Guy. He's also in the past been a writer for many other shows, including The Late Show with David Letterman. Not only is he in the world of creativity, in the world of Hollywood and animation, but beyond that, he is also a founder and an investor in his own businesses. We're going to be talking about his journey and how he is bridging both the entertainment space and the business space. One other really fun conversation coming up soon is Scott Hershovitz. He is the director of the Law and Ethics Program and a professor of law and philosophy at the University of Michigan. He has an amazing new book out called Nasty, Brutish, and Short, Adventures in Philosophy with My Kids. These are really fun conversations you're not going to want to miss. So make sure, if you haven't already, head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts, search for JumbleThink, and click that subscribe button. To make it even easier, if you head on over to jumblethink.com, you'll find links to like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, a bunch of other places. It's real easy. Go subscribe to the show right now and never miss another conversation. We've got great ones lined up, so make sure to go subscribe right now. Now let's jump into rapid fire questions.
Pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque, mettez le contact, reposez votre bras et attendez.
We are back with Emily from Wayward Spirit. All right, Emily, are you ready for rapid fire questions?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A veterinarian.
What is one tip you'd give someone with a big idea or dream and they don't know where to start?
Figure out what you want your everyday to look like and help shape your directions towards your next goal, but also what you want your day to look like in the future. And then you'll be happy and accomplish your goals too.
What is one change you'd like to see in the world?
Oh boy, just gratitude, a little bit of softness, a little bit of compassion and, you know, appreciation, because everyone's working really hard out there. They really genuinely are. And a lot of things to appreciate in the world.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Still being written.
That's a fair answer. For you personally, where do you find inspiration?
Oh boy. Creative people, smart, creative people taking their own path, willing to share, and just that energy that comes from that.
Now here at JumbleThink, we are all about dreamers and idea makers. You mentioned the word ideation, which is one of our favorite words, even though I obviously can't say it right today. What is one book you think everyone with an idea or a dream should read?
Oh boy. I think that's going to vary depending on what you want. I don't know if there's one message for everyone, but read what speaks to you. And I'm a big believer in triangulating information. So I like to talk and get inspiration from multiple things and figure out my own kind of interpretation from there. So I'd say take a collection and take the best of all of it and kind of chart your own path from it.
Love that. What is one trend you are currently excited about?
For me, I think it's just that trend of upcycling. I think not looking at, you know, the everyday things in front of you, looking at industrial production, looking at new creative opportunities. To me, it's low hanging fruit. And I think, you know, literally the easiest way to innovate. So really excited that's becoming mainstream and popular and respect it because you can, you know, turn something, you know, someone used to see as waste into liquid gold. And that's what we did with Wayward.
Love it. If you weren't doing what you're doing today, what do you think you'd be doing?
I probably would still be doing innovation, kind of at larger companies, and kind of hungry and hoping for the type of product and type of company to kind of land on my desk versus going out there and trying to create it myself.
Our final rapid fire question today is, what is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
Boy. Again, that's still being written. But with that, you know, I would love, you know, for personally, just in this first step with Wayward, you know, to obviously grow and expand, but also some of the principles with it. But yeah, these are tough rapid fires. These are no joke. still being written. I'd love to do a follow-up interview in about a year and see if I have a better one for you. But, you know, big goals, but I'm taking day by day and just trying to focus on, you know, that those principles and values of every day. And I think big things come from that.
Emily, it's been a lot of fun to hear the Wayward Spirit story, to hear your story. It is inspiring and it's exciting and it's a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking time out to share with us today.
What a pleasure. Thank you guys so much, and keep up with the ideation and the dreaming. It's, you know, what's going to make the world a better place.
Once again, I want to thank Emily Darchak for joining us here on the JumbleThink podcast to tell us the story of Wayward Spirit. The links to her website are in the episode notes. Go check out what she's doing and maybe pick up a bottle of Wayward Spirit. I want to thank you for tuning into JumbleThink. It means the world to me that you would listen. And I hope today's conversation has taught you a simple lesson that you can take unexpected solutions to problems and come up with really creative ideas that can shape or reshape an industry and a space. Wayward Spirit is definitely doing that through their business, and you can do that with your own dreams and ideas too. But to do that, you have to take a step. So here's my challenge. Get out there, dream big, and change the world around you.
Vous verrez comment un simple disque peut aller plus loin que vous ne l'auriez imaginé. Mettez-vous dans une tenue légère. Ôtez tout ce qui peut vous gêner ou tirer votre attention. Cherchez la meilleure position. Les bras et les jambes légèrement espacés. Étirez-vous doucement, mais complètement. En avant, en arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants, peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.